matter of Dawn Siegel. May we please have appearances?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices of the Court, Ryan Moriarty, Deputy Ethics Counsel on behalf of the Office of Attorney Ethics.
Good. Oh, I just lost you. And good afternoon, Your Honors. I'm Dawn Siegel, pro se for myself.
Thank you. Mr. Moriarty, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. This matter is before the court as a result of the Disciplinary Review Board's granting of the Office of Attorney Ethics motion for reciprocal discipline, following respondents' 1 year and 1 day suspension in Pennsylvania on a joint petition in support of discipline on consent, where she agreed to violations of RPC 8.3B, 8.4C, 8.4D, and RPC 8.4F. The facts which give rise to the unethical conduct came as a result of respondent's service as a municipal court judge in Philadelphia. Respondent was concerned about her prospects of winning a future retention campaign and contacted a more politically well-connected judge and expressed those concerns. Thereafter, that judge asked respondent for assistance with three matters she was presiding over during a period of several months. The first was respondent's granting of a continuance for a defendant who was a friend of the judge over the objection of the plaintiff. The second was after respondent denied a motion to open a default judgment, the judge asked for her assistance, and when a motion for reconsideration was filed, respondent granted that motion, reversing her previous decision. Third, respondent, on the request of the other judge for assistance, downgraded a felony firearms offense to a misdemeanor. In all of these instances, respondent spoke in covert language and immediately advised the other judge of what she did following the hearings to ensure that he was aware of what she did to assist him and therefore advanced her personal interest. When interviewed by the FBI later, respondent admitted that she knew what she was doing and the reason was to advance her own self-interest in the future retention campaign. The board granted the OA's motion for reciprocal discipline and determined that pursuant to subsection E, that the unethical conduct warranted substantially different discipline. Specifically, the board held that respondent's conduct poisoned the well of justice and therefore required her disbarment. The board noted that there was significant harm to the public perception of a fair and impartial judiciary. Respondent has argued that this decision violated her due process rights to notice an opportunity to be heard. These arguments are without merit. She had notice of reciprocal discipline procedures in New Jersey and was specifically advised by former chief counsel of the board, Ms. Brodsky, that there was no consent procedure and that the board would determine the level of discipline. Further, she had an opportunity to be heard by virtue of entering into a petition for discipline on consent in Pennsylvania, which gave basis for the motion in New Jersey, as well as having the opportunity to file a brief before the board and appear for argument, where she presented her arguments in mitigation. Arguments which she has presented to the court in her arguments against disbarment. The OE submitted the underlying motion recommending a discipline of a 1 year suspension. However, the board's decision recommending disbarment was authorized pursuant to subsection E and was rational in light of the unethical conduct presented in the analysis of the analogous disciplinary precedent. Accordingly, in light of respondent's unethical conduct in the board's decision, discipline beyond the original recommended 1 year suspension is warranted. If the court has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
May I proceed?
Not yet, please. Any questions for Mr. Moriarty, anyone? Thank you. Ms. Siegel.
I do apologize.
No, that's all right.
Were those the facts of my case, perhaps the discipline would be justified. They are not the facts of my case. The facts of my case, I stand before you remorseful. What I did was wrong. This judge called me on three cases. I didn't know what to do on the first one. Yes, it was in the retention time. I didn't want to alienate him the first time, so I didn't report him and say pound sand. I was never accused of making a decision other than what I would have made in any case. I was never accused of case fixing, altering the outcome. The joint petition in Pennsylvania found all that. Never charged with a crime, never did any of that. The first time he caught me off guard, I didn't report him. A year later, it goes by and he contacts me again. I thought it was a one-time thing. I thought, now I have a problem. I don't know what to do. I'm a new judge. So I just put it off. I don't make a decision. It's a request for reconsideration. They gave a reason for it. The first time they filed something, they attached documentation. There was a justification for it. I would have done it for anyone else. I made the decision to grant it so another judge could decide the merits of that second case. I didn't decide it. I handled it exactly as I would any other case. That's what the U.S. Attorney's Office found. That's why I testified without immunity before a grand jury. Never charged with a crime. I was stupid. I was used. No crime, not what's been described. That's ridiculous. I was manipulated by this man. I was wrong. I deserve to be removed. Absolutely. I stand before you, or I sit before you, chastened. I Zoom before you, chastened. Wrong, wrong, wrong. did not commit a crime, didn't make any decision other than what I would have made. After the third time this man called me, I said, stop, enough, and he stopped. I didn't report him. I made an error legally and I reduced a charge when I thought it was right. I thought I was making the correct legal decision. It was an error commonly made by municipal court judges. I did not think I was cutting the man a break. I didn't think I was doing anything. I stopped him calling. I went to the grand jury. I apologized. I mean, they came to me. I didn't go to them. I don't take any credit for that. I was wrong. I was young. I was naive. I was played. My stupidity, I deserved it, but I'm no criminal. And that's what they found in Pennsylvania. The joint stipulation says she wasn't charged. She was used. She should have reported him. She should have recused herself. She should have told him to stop before the fourth case. I didn't do any of those things. That's all true. But in Pennsylvania, I presented 16 witnesses, including a Supreme Court justice who said she's a good person. She made mistakes. That was done. Remove her. But that's it. And that's all this is. I'm not the criminal they have me out to be. And the precedent they cite about people who fix cases and plead guilty to this and that and are unremorseful are totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. So I would suggest that the standard that New Jersey applies appropriately so is to defer to the findings of the sister jurisdiction, which is Pennsylvania. I had a day-long hearing. I had 16 witnesses. They made a decision. I was removed, but then they said a year and a day, and Pennsylvania has just issued a decision, the disciplinary board in Pennsylvania. Hopefully you got my letter to you, 40 pages saying, yes, give her her license back. She's a good person. She screwed up. She was used. She shouldn't be a judge, but give her her license back. I'm 61. It's true. The precedent you have say if they're young and eager, they can be good and reformed and all that. I'm a good person. I'm reformed. I messed up. I paid the price. It's 11 years ago. I stopped the man's call the fourth time, and that was it. So I'm not who Mr. Moriarty would say I am. That's just not. You look at the precedent, the case fixing, the taking money, the this and that, none of that. It was stupidity on that first time. And then I didn't know how to stop him until the fourth time. So that's what this is about. And based upon that, I would submit to you, there's no basis to deviate outside of what the sister jurisdiction did in Pennsylvania. Originally, the joint findings, the stipulation is what this court should rely upon, plus finding, am I credible or not? I've never had discipline before or after as a lawyer, as a judge. The prosecutor, the disciplinary prosecutor in Pennsylvania was on the side and was in favor of my reinstatement. So I don't know what else to say to you. That is who I am. The evidence speaks for itself. I'm happy to answer any questions.
How many years had you been practicing at the time of the first incident?
Now you're asking me to do math. That's a toughie. I graduated law school in 84 and he contacted me in 2011. So let's say just under 30 years. I certainly knew it was wrong. I didn't know why he was coming to me.
What did you mean when you said more than once to us just now, you didn't know how to stop him?
The first time he called me, I was puzzled because I thought, why are you calling me just to let me know that there's a person on my list that you know? Like, I really didn't know, honestly, why he was calling me. I'd been on the bench for a year. I just didn't know. And I thought, odd, why would he do that? Then the guy came in, he said, I was just retained. I would have granted that continuance anyway. I was just retained. Someone's in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, instead I'll mark it must be tried next time, which I would have done for anyone. If they gave me a legitimate excuse, he'd given me an excuse. Then a year goes by and then he calls me again, this guy, the corrupt judge. So I thought, oh, now I have a problem. Now I see something's going on. I have to do something here. That's what I meant.
But that time as well, you told us even through the third time, you didn't know how to stop him. I'm not sure what to make of that.
I guess I lack the backbone to say, get out of my face, stop calling. Why are you calling me? Like when he called me, I thought, why are you calling me? I knew it was improper, but I thought I didn't know what to do. And I think I kept hoping it would go away. Like it was a year that passed from the first time he called me until the second time. So I thought, oh, it's a one-time thing. I'm a new judge. The second time he called me, I thought, okay, now I have a problem. But I thought, okay, I just hope it goes away. The third time he called me a month later, I thought, okay, now I have to do something. And I didn't. But I thought, okay, I'm stopping this. I didn't do it. So then when he contacted me the fourth time, I said, enough, stop. And he did. But of course I should have done it sooner.
Have you been practicing in New Jersey?
Have I?
During your career?
Yes.
When was the last time?
When did I practice in New Jersey? I was in-house for Prudential up until 2003. And I did work in Jersey up until that time. And then after I was removed from the bench, I started doing work for a colleague. And I think I might have had a couple of cases in Jersey. But for sure, the majority of my practice has been in Pennsylvania.
Just so.
I'm sorry, what?
Counsel, do you take issue with any of the facts that are presented in the DRB decision? Forget about the law. Any of the facts that are presented? Did you hear me? Am I not? Am I muted?
No, we can hear you, Justice.
Oh, you can't hear me. Okay.
Ms. Siegel,
did you hear the question, Ms. Siegel?
I did. I think that the facts as stated are, I think they cut some of the facts out of the joint petition, but certainly they didn't misstate things that are accurate.
Are you still pressing a due process argument? Page 12 of the DRB decision lays out our rule, which places everyone on notice that we're not bound by the sister jurisdiction's discipline.
It's funny that you would say that, because I think I inartfully argued that. What I meant to say was that there wasn't a basis for the DRB to find an exception, not that I wasn't on notice at the possibility. So if that's your question, I do think that you have followed your procedure. I don't think the DRB had a basis for doing it, but you're right, there is a distinction.
So if I understand, you object to the outcome, of course, I understand that, but right. You're not advancing a due process argument at this point. Is that correct?
My argument is that I wasn't given due process by the DRB in terms of their examination of the evidence. So that, however you want to parse that. In terms of how this court handled it and my notice and all that, I'm certainly acknowledging that I did know and I was on notice, and Ms. Brodsky had said that, so yes.
Other questions, anyone?
I'm just confused on that last response. Are you suggesting on this, when you refer to objection to how the DRB handled the evidence, are you suggesting that you should have gotten a fact-finding hearing or something like that before?
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me.
Before a special master, the DRB wouldn't be taking testimony.
No, that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is that the evidence is the evidence in my case, as Justice Albin referred to. The joint stipulation is the joint stipulation. I agree to that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is I suggest to the court that there was no evidentiary foundation for the DRB to deviate from the recommended discipline of Pennsylvania. In other words, one of those exceptions. I believe that by ignoring the stipulated evidence of record, that denied me my due process. That's my argument.
I see. Did not fully address all of the complete record in your view.
Exactly. That's exactly my argument, that there had been stipulated facts and that it was just disregarded. Yes.
You, in your submission that you most recently sent to us, it says the most recent practice in New Jersey that you've done was 2018. Is that still accurate? You have no current matters in New Jersey?
No, I've been working as a paralegal since early 2019. I haven't practiced law since 2018.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
I just want to be clear. The last time you practiced law in New Jersey was when?
The last time I practiced law ever was in 2018. I believe that I had a case in New Jersey in 2018, but certainly not since that time, because I turned everything in, I shut the lights off and stopped in 2018.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
Any other questions, anyone? Anything you'd like to add, Ms. Siegel?
No, I appreciate the time, and I know the standard that this court applies in looking at appropriate sanctions. And I would hope that this court does not view sanctions as a strict liability situation, but believes in rehabilitation and can see and read about my entire life and the fact that I've been a practicing lawyer for 30 something years and I've done pro bono things and all that kind of stuff. And I really hope to get my license back so that I can give back and go back to volunteering. That's really part of what's motivating me. So that's all that I want to say. I think you know it. You see the record. Did you all get, though, the decision that the Pennsylvania Disciplinary Board just issued? I sent yes. it to the court. Okay, good. My technical skills are, so I just want to make sure. Okay, that's all that I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement.